Good morning. I'm really feeling really feeling led this morning to change my message. I've never done this before. I believe we're gonna. We won't need the PowerPoint, Danny. We can still use the title, "Thy Kingdom Come, Thy Will Be Done." I really have a burden this morning. Maybe you've grown up in church. Maybe you're not from church at all. There's been a number of testimonies shared this morning, and I thank you for that. But I think it's easy to grow up in church to never really get what it means to know the Lord. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That's where we need to start. God made man. And when man was made, there was nothing wrong with man. The angels that are in heaven now are not there because they've repented or because God has restored a relationship with them. They are there because God made them and they never broke that relationship. Man was made in the same relationship with God. Man was made. God would come in the evening and walk in the cool of the day, it says, and had fellowship with Adam and Eve. And he had sweet fellowship with them. They communed with each other. And then man sinned. And it was a simple sin. God said, "I put two trees in the garden. You can eat of all the trees of the garden. You can eat of the fruit. You can eat. Enjoy yourselves. It's all yours. But there's two trees that you are not to eat of. One of those is the tree of the knowledge of good and evil." And one day Eve, and we don't know the details exactly, but one day Eve was in the area of that tree, and Satan, disguised as a serpent, he took the form of a serpent, and he said to Eve, "Has God said you should not eat?" And she said, "Yes, he said we shouldn't even touch it." And he told us in the day that we eat of it, we'll die. And Satan said, "You won't die. God's trying to trick you. God knows that in the day that you eat of that fruit, you will become like him. You will know good and evil. And your eyes will be opened. And he doesn't want that to happen. He's cheating you." And Eve looked at the fruit. And the fruit was good to look at. And it says she took of the fruit and ate it and gave to the man with her. And they both did eat. And it was like Satan said, their eyes were open. Suddenly they could tell good and evil. But suddenly there was a sense of shame and a sense of being cut off and a sense of a broken relationship. Where once there was sweet communion, God came and said, "Adam, where art thou?" And Adam hid in the garden. And God said to ask Adam, "Did you eat of the fruit?" And Adam said, "Yes. But the woman you gave me to eat of the fruit, and I ate of it." So God went to Eve and said, "Why did you eat of the fruit?" And she said, "The serpent beguiled me. The serpent tricked me." So God went to the serpent. said, "You are cursed. And I'll put enmity between your seed and Adam's seed." And that's still there today. Most people react when they see a snake. There's enmity. There's hate. There's dislike for serpents. And God said, someday, the seed of you will bruise the heel of Adam's seed, but Adam's seed will bruise your head. And then we move down through the ages, several thousand years. And man is lost. And man has been given the law. Man has been told that if you sin, you will die. God told Adam that before he sinned. So man has been lost. Man, that tie with God has been severed, has been destroyed. Man has no hope of regaining that relationship. Every person that was born after Adam, from Adam and Eve, inherited Adam's sinful nature, Adam's tendency towards sin. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And God said, I love man. I want to have relationship with man. But I'm also a just God. And you cannot be just and merciful at the same time. The law said that if a man sins, the man dies. So God in His justness was saying, I've declared, and this wasn't something that Satan or some other law in the universe was holding God to. This was God's character that held Him to this standard. I have declared that if a man sins, that man will die. I also love man. I desire to have a relationship with man. And the Bible says that before the foundations of the earth, it was designed that Jesus would, God would send, in John 3:16, that verse was mentioned this morning, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. It doesn't say that Jesus so loved that He came. Jesus did love us, but Jesus came in obedience to the Father. The Father gave His Son. You that are fathers here this morning, imagine that. Imagine someone coming up and slapping you in the face and spitting in your eye, and you give your son's life to redeem that person. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, His only Son, that whosoever would believe in Him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Would not die as was prescribed by law, but would have everlasting life, would have relationship with Jesus Christ. So we become, as we are born into this world, we are born sons of Adam. Sons of Adam do not inherit eternal life. Sons of Adam are sinners and have been cut off from God. Jesus was born into this world as the Son of God. He was sinless. He was perfect. He was 100% God and He was 100% man. He was God's Son, born of a virgin. God was His Father. Jesus lived a perfect life. Jesus lived in perfect obedience to the Father. The two greatest commandments, Jesus said, is love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And He said, the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Jesus kept those two commandments perfectly His entire life, without exception, without fail. We, as humans, have never kept either of them perfectly for even a day. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. We are sinful creatures. So on one hand, we have Adam and his descendants. On this side, we have God and his descendant, Christ Jesus. At any time, Christ was worthy of heaven. He had not sinned. He had never broken that relationship. He had never severed that right standing with God. And at no time was a descendant of Adam worthy of eternal life. He had broken that relationship, and there was no way of getting around it. What separated man from God, what separated the lineage of Adam from the lineage of Christ, was sin. And that is something that none of us has the power to overcome. None of us has the power to defeat sin in our lives. We don't get over sin and then become sons of God. We don't learn to do it right and then we're worthy for heaven. Jesus came and lived. Okay, God had said that the soul that sinneth, it shall die. The wages of sin is death. We have a number of verses that say that when we sin, we die. He had told Adam, if you eat of this tree, you're going to die. God, in his righteousness, declared that when there is sin, there must be death. When Christ came, Christ lived that perfect life throughout his entire life. And when he came to the end of his life, he was punished as though he had been the transgressor. When it came time, when Christ was in the Garden of Gethsemane, for those of you who know the story, there was the Last Supper. And then Christ knew that it was his time to go and die, to be offered for the sins of the world. And he went to the Garden of Gethsemane and he prayed and he said, "Oh Father, if it is your will, let this cup pass from me." He wasn't afraid of the crucifixion. It doesn't mean he was looking forward to it. But he was God's son. And he is the reason that many people down through the centuries since then have gone to their deaths in singing and in victory and in praise. He's the one that gives us that power, that has given many martyrs the power to do that. Do we think that he was sweating great drops of blood because of it? He knew that what was in the cup was the wrath of God. God took the sins of man, your sin, my sin, and placed them on his son and punished his son in my stead. Out of love for you and me, he slew his son on the tree. Jesus hung on the cross and he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" I've heard people explain that God couldn't stand to watch his son being crucified. I don't believe that's true at all. God had forsaken his son. God had said that the soul, the man that lives right and does well in the Old Testament, if you do this, you will be blessed. If you do this, you'll be blessed. If you do this, you inherit this. All these promises, Jesus kept every one. And there was an agreement. He knew what was going to happen. But at the same time, he kept every promise, did everything perfectly. And he gets to the cross and God slew his son on the tree. That is why he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" He did that for me, and he did that for you. And then he takes our sins and removes them from us as far as the east is from the west, casts them into the deepest part of the sea, and remembers them no more. And we become justified. And that does not mean that it becomes as if we hadn't done those sins. We are justified because Christ's righteousness is imputed to us. We become righteous. God looks at us and sees His Son when I take that righteousness upon me, when I accept Christ as my Savior, when I make Him my atonement. So we have the divide between the lineage of Adam and the lineage of Christ, and sin is dividing that, and the cross is the bridge that cross that gives us a way to get from this lineage to this lineage. As many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, to get into the right line, the line that goes to heaven, the line that is in right standing with God. To them gave He power. It's not something we do. It's not something we earn. And it's not something we deserve, for sure. It's something He did for us. Jesus died to pay for those sins. He was buried, and 3 days later, He arose. And He rose in power and victory and triumph over death, over the grave, over sin. We hear a lot about grace. And it's something I've been really interested in lately. I haven't had a chance to do a lot of study on it. I hope to look into it more. But I wonder how often when we say the word grace, that we mean mercy. Mercy is not getting what we deserve. Grace can have several meanings. One meaning for grace is unmerited favor, undeserved, getting what we don't deserve. Mercy is not getting what we deserve. We deserve to die. And we don't. That's mercy. Going to heaven is something we do not deserve. That's grace. So we have, but then also grace, often I believe grace means power. God's grace is given to us to overcome sin. It is by His grace that we overcome sin. It is by His grace that we are able to do things. But Jesus rose. Jesus died, paid for our sins. Jesus rose to give us victory over sin, that we can walk in newness of life. For by grace are you saved through faith. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I don't know where you're at this morning. I don't know what you've experienced in your life. Some of us grew up never having been real bad. We don't really need all that much grace, we think. Some of us grow up, we know we've done a lot of things, and we think there's not enough grace for us. The Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I've heard the illustration of a man who was in line at the judgment, and the saints' sins were covered with blood. Some big blotches, some small blotches. And there was one man ahead of him that his sins came up, and there was a lot of blood. And on one hand, I don't think this is a good illustration, because all sins are sin before God. But he asked God, he said, what did he do that it took that much sin? Or took that much blood to cover it? And God said, I don't remember. That's been paid for. We can stand before God having sinned the greatest sins or the smallest sins, we're all guilty. But when we're covered in the blood, we're all righteous. It's available to all. It's necessary for all. It's probably my favorite thing to talk about. I love talking to people about the Lord, about salvation, about the fact that God loved us enough to send His Son and give us eternal life. If you're here this morning and you don't know for sure that you've been born again, maybe you don't even know what that term means. That sounds weird, born again. Jesus told Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he shall not see the kingdom of God. He cannot see the kingdom of God. Like I said, I very much enjoy talking about this. I will talk to anybody. I'll stay here all afternoon. I will do my best to explain or help or pray with you, whatever it might be. I know there's others here that would do the same thing. I would ask that you don't leave here without knowing. I don't care if everything I've said has seemed strange to you and you'd have to start all over. It's not my fault, not my fault. That's a negative term. It's not because of me that I know what I know. I have been taught. I have been blessed. I've been given many opportunities. On the other hand, it's not your fault if you know nothing. If you haven't been taught, if you haven't been blessed in that way or given those opportunities. We're all on the scale somewhere. We all have sinned. We all need Jesus. And there is sufficient grace there for every one of us. Let's stand for prayer. Lord, we just come to you this morning. I pray, Lord, that you would open our eyes. We want to see Jesus. Lord, I pray that you would give each one of us a keen understanding of where we're at with you. Lord, there may be some here this morning that are maybe struggle with assurance, wondering if you've really saved them. Lord, I pray for assurance for those. Maybe there's some who have never experienced a new birth and aren't aware of that. I pray, Lord, that you would move in each one of our hearts as you see fit and as we need. Lord, I just pray for your grace to be extended to each one here this morning. I pray, Lord, that each one of us would hear your voice, that we could all just walk in that newness of life that only you can give. We bless you, Lord. We thank you. And we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.